Well, it's the first week of February already,
yes,
2019.
It is.
It's actually our first trip to Columbus this year because January fell on New Year's Day. So we had to skip January.
It did.
But we're glad to be back to kind of catch up and see what's going on in Columbus with Mayor Linup. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
So how about just a brief update on the weather? We know it hit everybody hard. There were
right.
We had some snow, we had ice, we had sleet. I think we had very cold temperatures,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And it, was the city able to keep up with the roads? And
you know,
all?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we tried to explain to people is we have 19 pieces of snow removal equipment, you know, trucks with plows. And some of them are garbage trucks, some of them are dump trucks, some are pickup trucks. But 19 pieces, and with those 19 pieces, we can clear the city streets in about 20 hours. And that's if it's a moderate snowfall. I mean, and what we had, you know, would fall within the moderate range. But one Saturday, I was out at the city garage and, you know, walked in there, and three of those pieces of equipment were up on lifts. You know, a piece had broken, or one of the guys hit a manhole cover, you know, and it bent the plow. And so, you know, even with that kind of equipment, you know, we still have issues with respect to, you know, maintenance that needs to be done, or breakdowns that occur while you're en route. And so it even if we can, on paper, get it all done in 20 hours, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. So what I tell people is that if we get to you in hour one, you know, you're really happy, and you should be. If it's hour 19, well, you know, maybe you're not quite so happy, but we're coming to get you.
Yeah. We're in the thick of the legislative session, of course, too, in the Indiana State House. A few things, you know, have been making the headlines: the hate crimes bill, teacher pay, funding of the child services. I know Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett is looking over a casino bill.
Right.
I'm not sure if there's anything in particular that Columbus or that you're keeping an eye on there at the State House.
You know, for the most part, we have what we need from the legislature, but the teacher pay really has struck a chord with me. I mean, you may recall that we did a salary survey this past year with respect to many of the positions that we have at City Hall. And what we found was that you know, a lot of our positions, we were below the market. You know, we were not competitive. Now, we don't have to lead the market, but we need to be competitive, and particularly in the public safety arena. And so to find that teachers have also, you know, lost a little bit of that competitiveness, you know, that's a bit of a concern. And it, like I say, it sort of hit home with me because we found that, you know, when we looked at our employees. So it's something that needs to be addressed, and I'm glad that the legislature's looking into it.
I see there's a water infrastructure funding bill to help some cities to pay for water pipes and drains. It's more of a loan program. Infrastructure funding, a big deal in many communities. Where is Columbus right now in terms of, you know, control plan, sewer, water infrastructure?
Well, we did a major upgrade to our sewer and wastewater treatment, maybe 10 years ago. And I think that they're telling me we're good for the next 30, 40 years, I mean, based on the growth patterns that we have. With respect to fresh water, drinking water, you know, we've got a couple issues. We had to close a few wells here in the maybe in 2017 because of some pollution issues that were just a little bit too much of an issue for us. And for us, I think it just is maybe a something that we have to keep our eye on with respect to the quality of the groundwater. You know, we'd get our water from wells, and you know, most of those wells are pretty deep. I want to say about 75 feet. And so you'd think by the time you get down that deep that the water would be pretty pure. And what we found with a couple of our wells that wasn't the case. So we've shut those down, and we, this next year, 2019, we're going to do some exploration. We're going to dig some test wells, and see if we can find some other locations, because, you know, we've got capacity now, but we do get concerned about whether we'll have capacity as the city continues to grow, and should we find another problem in one of our other wells.
You know, I see where city officials, kind of going back to the state house about the hate crimes bill, I see some city officials were kind of investigating a swastika graffiti on a building downtown, and we've seen reports in other cities too, but it kind of points to what Governor Holcomb says, that there needs to be tighter hate crimes laws. Do you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah, it all depends on what the actual legislation says. But the swastika that you refer to wasn't downtown. It was sort of in the center of town, close to 25th and Central. And we think it had been there for 4 or 5 years. And people just didn't see it until somebody took a picture of it and sent it our way. But this is, it's on a vacant building that has been the topic of opportunities for it to be torn down and repurposed, or for the site to be repurposed. But, you know, we've contacted the owner and moving, taking steps to get it removed. But I think it does point to the fact that there are still people out there who need a stronger dissuasion from that kind of behavior.
The IU Board of Trustees met last week in Columbus at the newly renovated Republic Building, which will be the IU School of Art Architecture Design Program. Things are moving quickly. I think they had a more formal dedication, is that right?
Right. The school opened last fall, but they dedicated the building, which is something that you know, universities do, and we would do it too if we had a brand new building or some new use for an old one. But it was really neat to see the trustees here, along with President McRobbie and the rest of the leadership of Indiana University, to have them come to Columbus for a meeting. In and of itself is kind of neat, but the building has, I can't explain to you adequately how satisfied we are that we've been able to put it to a new use, number one, and then such a good use. You know, Columbus has quite a reputation for architecture, and to have an architectural school now, basically in the center of our downtown area, is a real feather in our cap. I mean, we're really tickled by that. Plus, you may recall that we have pursued a planning process called Envision Columbus, and part of what it looks like, or looks at, is what the 2nd and 3rd Street corridors will look like. And so, you know, this takes an entire block with a rather a notable building and tells us what the use of that is going to be for the next 50 years. So from our perspective in terms of planning for downtown, it fills in a big blank, and we're really pleased. Yeah, couldn't be happier.
You know, you're talking about Envision Columbus, and I see where the city is hiring a Chicago consultant to find a developer for a downtown convention center, which was part of that plan for a more urban downtown.
Right. You know, part of what Envision Columbus told us was that there is a need for a hotel/conference or hotel/event center, you know, in the city. We would like to have that in downtown. We'd like to be able to draw people to our downtown area and benefit from what we think will be a significant amount of additional foot traffic. But you just can't wish it. You know, you've got to go out and try to find a way to make it happen. We know that we'll have to recruit a developer to our community. And so with that in mind, Redevelopment Commission hired a specialist called Hunden, and they prepared a report that talked about the economics associated with a hotel/conference center. And they're pretty favorable, you know. So with that report in hand, now we will go contact some developers and see if we can make something happen.
Yeah. So is their job to create a report on attracting developers, or do they actually go out to get the developers?
They will actually call on developers and encourage them to take a look at this site. They'll provide a copy of their report, which shows the economic feasibility of that activity, and then you know, hopefully invite them down here, give them a tour of the city. I'd hope to be able to meet those folks and, you know, help sell them on the fact that Columbus would be a great place to do business.
And is the site pretty much determined where this would go?
We've got three options, maybe four, depends on how you count, that we want those folks to look at. We've got ground east of our jail, south of 2nd Street. We would like for them to look at a surface parking lot that today is owned by Bartholomew County and they use for their employees. We'd like for them to look at what we call the old Crump site. And then the post office always seems to come up in any kind of discussion like that. And again, you know, some of those properties we own, some we don't. There are a number of variables, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces. And another part to that was, I think the Republic had an article talking about a private grocer that might be able to take part in that too, because there really isn't a downtown grocery store, correct?
You know, what part of what also came out of Envision Columbus is the notion that Columbus needs to offer a product that it does not offer today. And that product is what I would call a walkable residential area. And what that means is it's a place where you can live and walk to work, walk to your recreation, and walk to a grocery store. When we're talking recreation, you know, that might be a restaurant, it might be a city park, might be a movie theater, you know, but some kind of recreational activity. And then walking to a grocery store is simply, you know, a place where you can get groceries to a greater extent than you might find at a convenience store. To put a number on it, maybe 40 or 50,000 square foot store. And we're hopeful that we can Also attract a developer to take a look at that, again, in the 2nd and 3rd Street corridor, somewhere between, say the Republic Building, you know, out east to the intersection with 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Any time frame to talk about with this? Or it just kind of happens?
We'll wait and see, but we're hopeful that we can get something yet this year.
Great.
At least it started.
Right. I always love when you say, well, we're on step 5 of 80, you know, this seems like you're moving along, but it's still very early in this process.
There's a lot to do. And we're probably beyond step 5 at this point, maybe up to 8 or 9, but we've got a long ways to go.
I wanted to get your take. This kind of made headlines a few weeks ago, but we haven't talked about the decision, city officials, about not having a baby box in a downtown, I think it was a downtown fire station?
On the east side, East Columbus, Fire Station 3.
Yeah, and this came from a high school project.
Well, it's a lengthy story,
okay. So
I'll try to cut to the chase, and that is that, you know, it's a very emotional discussion. Everybody has a special place in their heart for newborns, and particularly newborns that aren't necessarily wanted. And so we all want to be able to reach out and provide a helping hand when we can. But if you listen to what the fire chief had to say, you know, with respect to this this activity at Fire Station 3, there's some limitations that we just can't seem to be able to overcome. You know, the people who were promoting this started with the notion that fire stations are manned 24/7. You know, there's always somebody there, and so this would be a good place to drop off a newborn. Well, that's just not true. You know, when firefighters get called out, they may be gone 5 minutes, they may be gone 5 hours. They just don't know how long they're not going to be there. And so there will be a period of time when this box is not attended. Secondly, you know, when we raise our hand, we put one of these boxes in a fire station, we'll raise our hand to the public and say, bring your newborn here, it's okay, we got this. And what the fire chief is telling us is, ain't necessarily so. You know, we've got to be prepared to handle newborns of all kinds, not just the healthy ones, but the ones who may be born with a substance abuse issue, ones who are premature, maybe they'll have some other issues. So my point is that all our firefighters are EMTs, but that doesn't make them neonatal, you know, attendees. And so what he's telling us is that we really can't get qualified to be able to provide the level of care that one might expect from a baby box. And so what we encourage people to do instead, and it's not like we've turned our back on this, what we've encouraged people to do is to come forward anyway, you know, with the newborn. We'll accept it, no questions asked about you, but we would ask some questions about the newborn. As I said before, is this baby full term? Is this baby got some substance abuse issues that we need to know about right away? And then what we'll do is we'll take the baby to the emergency room, which it could have gone to anyway. I mean, that's probably a better first choice, you know, than bringing it to a fire station. So it's a very emotional issue, and I understand, you know, why it really tugs on everybody's heartstrings, but we've got to set ourselves up for success, you know, and being able to take care of the situation. And what our fire chief is telling us is that we're not going to be there. And so we don't want to create a false sense of security and let people think that we are prepared to take care of a newborn that would just happen to be dropped off anytime, day or night.
And City Council is looking at some new grant money to help with the opioid epidemic.
Right. We've got, we're taping this on Tuesday, and we've got a City Council meeting this evening. There'll be two provisions that will come before the City Council. One for not quite 50 grand to help start a drug court in Bartholomew County. Now, it takes more than 50,000 bucks to run a drug court. It's more like $500,000. But for the first 4 years, we're going to have most of the costs covered by a grant that we'll receive. And I want to say it comes from drug enforcement, but I'm not real sure about the source. That leaves about $100,000 that we have to cover locally, and our proposal would be to split that with the county. You know, so the proposal that comes before the City Council will be for not quite $50,000, and that, like I say, that'll be tonight. There'll be a second proposal that will be to assist the Volunteers of America create what they call Recovery Works program here in downtown Columbus. This will be, we've talked about it before, it's going to be at the corner of 7th and Washington in an old post office building. We will house in there, maybe 20 to 25 young mothers who will be able to bring with them up to 2 children up to the age of 5. And the whole notion here is that we're going to, the child is the client. This project's going to be paid for by the Department of Child Services. As I said, the child is the client, but we're going to help the child by helping the mother. And the mother's motivation to do this is that they get to keep their children. This is a program that's been in place now for some time in downtown Indianapolis on Pennsylvania Street and in Winchester. And their success rate's a little bit higher, you know, than what we see in other areas. The number that gets quoted most often is 61%. So it's a recidivism rate of 39%, and that's much lower than what we see in most other treatment type facilities. So we're happy to be able to get that to Columbus. Again, the local match will be about $200,000, which we would split with the county. The part that we're not paying is about $1.5 million of retrofit or upfit costs associated with making that facility work for this use. So, you know, it's one of our common themes that we always try to find a partner, you know, that can bring more to the program than maybe what we've got. And so we've been able to do that here with Volunteers of America and the Department of Child Services. And so it's kind of exciting to be able to have that here in Columbus.
Yeah. And the drug court, what type of time frame for to get that set up?
That will probably be ready to go in about 3 months. I could be off a little bit on the timing, but Judge Kelly Benjamin, who's our circuit court judge, has agreed to take this on, and so some of her caseload will shift to a few of the other judges. But the whole notion is that sometimes with respect to people who have, they've fallen victim to addiction type issues and some of the, I wouldn't say victimless crime, but some of the lesser crimes associated with that, mostly theft, that perhaps there are some alternative remedies that are better fit than just incarceration. So, you know, they've proven to be successful in other communities, and so we're excited to have one here. I think it'll be a big improvement to our ability to be able to work with people who find themselves on the wrong side of addiction.
And I just thought I'd wrap up with Exhibit Columbus is moving forward with the announcement of the premier sites that we'll be looking at hopefully later this year. And yeah, they look pretty cool, don't they?
Well, I think maybe in August we'll be able to shoot this out. Yes. Out front. Yeah. On the patio. But yeah. We've identified some different sites than what we had before, a little bit different artists. This exhibit will have a little bit of a different theme. There'll be a little bit more towards landscape and outdoors. Most all the exhibits are outdoors, but there's going to be a cornfield, you know, over by one of the grade schools. There'll be I don't even know what to call it over there by the courthouse, but it'll be almost an interactive landscape where you walk along and the trees or bushes sort of respond to your footprint. And so either, you know, lean towards you or lean away. But it should be kind of neat, and I think it will be another way for the community to engage the architectural legacy that we have here in Columbus, which is, you know, a big part of what we're trying to do is just get people interested in architecture, which sometimes, you know, I'm an accountant, okay? So for me, maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but yeah, it works. And so that's part of what we try to do with the exhibit. And the last one that we had in 2017 was incredibly successful. And so we're kind of hopeful that the sequel can be as good as the original.
Have you announced re-election?
I have.
You have? Okay.
Yeah,
It's been a little while since we've talked and kind of fell to the back burner for me, but
right.
I don't think we've talked about that here.
Yeah, we've had a good time. I mean, yeah. This has been very rewarding, and I'm interested in doing it for 4 more years. We've got a lot of unfinished business, and so I do want to see that through. The railroad overpass is probably on the top of our list, and I don't think that's going to get completed until sometime in 2020, or fourth quarter likely, but we feel like it'll require you know, some assistance from us to sort of push that across the goal line. I'm really excited about the ASAP, you know, the heroin abuse initiative that we've started, but we've got a couple more things that we need to do to get it transitioned from, you know, start to, you know, maturity where it's running, not the least of which is to hire a full-time manager for that, but to be able to bring all these programs online. We've got programs started with the riverfront, and we just bought the mall, and there's just a lot of things that, you know, we've started that we do need to finish. Plus, I'll share with you too that, You know, when I started here in 2016, we recruited some people to come help. I mean, you can't run a city like this by yourself. But when you recruit people like that, all you can really offer is 4 years. And so I've always felt loyalty has to go both ways. And so those folks were kind enough to come join our team, and I feel like we owe them a little bit more than just a 4-year stint. So yeah, we're going to give this another go, and I'm looking forward to it.